Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David. This is the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Hour Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is March 1, 2017. All right, it is at Vidar 3, 2020. We will start our second service today with a song that I've written entitled, Lead Me to the Rock. Captivity and Restoration, Prophets and Kings. Continue our study now on page 700. It says, century after century passed, finally the voices of the prophets ceased. The hand of the oppressor was heavy upon Israel as the Jews departed from Yahweh's faith. Grew dim and hope well nigh ceased. To illuminate the future, the words of the prophets were uncomprehended by many, and those whose faith should have continued strong were ready to exclaim, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. Ezekiel 12:22, but in the heavens council, the hour for the coming of Yahshua had been determined, and when the fullness of the time was come, Yahweh sent forth his Son to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4:4-5. Lessons must be given unto the humanity in the language of the humanity, for the messenger of the covenant must speak. His voice must be heard in his own temple. He, the author of the truth, must separate truth from the chaff of the man's utterance, which had made it of no effect. For the principles of the Yahweh's government and the plan of redemption must be clearly defined. The lessons of the Old Testament must be fully set before men. When the Savior finally appeared in the likeness of man, Philippians 2:7, and began his ministry of the grace, Satan could but bruise the heel, while by every act of humiliation or suffering, Yahshua was bruising the head of his adversary. For the anguish that sin has brought was poured into the bosom of the sinless. Yet while Yahshua endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, he was paying the debt for sinful man and breaking the bondage in which humanity had been held. Every pang of anguish, every insult was working out the deliverance of the race. Could Satan have induced Yahshua to yield unto a single temptation? Could he have led him by one act or even thought to stain his perfect purity? The prince of the darkness would have triumphed over man's surety and would have gained the whole human family unto himself. But while Satan could distress, he could not contaminate. He could cause agony but not defilement. He made the life of the Yahshua one long scene of conflict and trial, yet with every attack, he was losing his hold upon humanity. In the wilderness of the temptation in the Garden of the Gethsemane and on the cross, our Savior measured weapons with the prince of darkness. His wounds became the trophies of his victory in behalf of the race. And Yahshua hung in the agony upon the cross, while evil spirits rejoiced and evil men reviled, then indeed his heel was bruised by Satan. That very act was crushing the serpent's head. Through a death, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, Hebrews 2:14. This act decided the destiny of the rebel chief and made forever sure the plan of the salvation and the death. He gained the victory over his power. In the rising again, he opened the gates of the grave unto all. His followers, in that last great contest, we see fulfilled the prophecy, "He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15. Beloved, now are we the sons of Yahweh, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3:2. Our Redeemer has opened the way so that the most sinful, the most needy, the most oppressed, and despised may find access unto the Father. O Yahweh, thou art my Elohim. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Isaiah 25:1. In the proclaiming of the truth of the everlasting gospel unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, Elohim's church on earth today is fulfilling the ancient prophecy. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Isaiah 27:6. For the followers of Yahshua and their cooperation with the heavenly intelligences are rapidly occupying the waste places of the earth. And as a result of their labors, an abundant fringe of the precious souls is developing. Today, as never before, the dimensions of the Bible truth by the means of a consecrated church is bringing to the sons of men the benefits foreshadowed centuries ago in the promise unto Abraham and unto all Israel, unto Elohim's church on earth in every age. I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. Genesis 12:2. I'm reading from chapter 59 now, and it's entitled The House of Israel. For the promise of the blessing should have been, had met fulfillment. A large measure during the centuries following the return of the Israelites from the land of their captivity, it was Elohim's design that the whole earth be prepared for the first advent of Yahshua, even as today the way is preparing for his second coming. At the end of the years of the humiliating exile, Yahweh graciously gave unto his people Israel, through the Zechariah, the assurance, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim shall be called a city of the truth, the mountain of the Yahweh of the host is the holy mountain. And of his people he said, behold, I will be their Elohim of the truth and in righteousness. Zechariah 8:3-8. These promises were conditional on the obedience, the sins that had characterized the Israelites prior unto the captivity were not to be repeated. Execute true judgment. Yahweh exhorted those who were engaged in the rebuilding, and show mercy and compassion, every man unto his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother. Speak ye every man the truth unto his neighbor. Execute the judgment of the truth and peace in your gates. Zechariah 7:9, verse 10, and Zechariah 8:16. Rich were the rewards, both temporal and spiritual, promised those who should put into practice these principles of the righteousness. For the seed shall be prosperous, Yahweh declared. The vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause a remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you. You shall be a blessing. Zechariah 8:12-13. By the Babylonian captivity, the Israelites were effectually cured of the worship of the graven images. After their return, they gave much attention unto the religious instructions and to the study of that which had been written in the book of the law and in the prophets concerning the worship of the true Yahweh. For the restoration of the temple enabled them to carry out fully the ritual services of the sanctuary under the leader of Zerubbabel, of Ezra, and of Nehemiah. They repeatedly coveted it to keep all the commandments and ordinances of the Yahweh. The seasons of prosperity that followed gave ample evidence of Elohim's willingness to accept and forgive, and yet with a fatal short-sightedness, they turned again and again from their glorious destiny and selfishly appropriated unto themselves that which would have brought healing and spiritual life unto the countless multitude. For this failure to fulfill the divine purpose is very apparent in the Malachi's day. Sternly, the Yahweh's messenger dealt with the evils that were robbing Israel of the temporal prosperity and spiritual power. In his rebuke against transgressors, the prophet spared neither priests nor people. The burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel through Malachi was that the lessons of the past be not forgotten, and that the covenant made by the Yahweh with the house of Israel be kept with fidelity. Only by the heartfelt repentance could the blessing of the Yahweh be realized. I pray you, the prophet pleaded, beseech Yahweh that he will be gracious unto us, Malachi 1:1-9. Not by any temporary failure of Israel, however, was the plan of the ages for the redemption of the mankind to be frustrated. Those unto whom the prophet was speaking might not heed the message given, but the purpose of the Yahweh was nevertheless to move steadily forward unto the complete fulfillment. From the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, the Yahweh declared through his messenger, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen. Malachi 1:11. For the covenant of life and peace Elohim had made with the sons of Levi, for the covenant which, if kept, would have brought untold blessing, the Yahweh now offered to renew with those who once had been spiritual leaders, but who, through the transgression, had become contemptible and base before all the people. Malachi 2:5-9. Solemnly, evildoers were warned of the day of the judgment to come, and of the Yahweh's purpose to visit with swift destruction every transgressor, yet none were left without hope. Malachi's prophecies of the judgment were accompanied by the invitation unto the impenitent to make their peace with Yahweh. Return unto me, Yahweh urged, and I will return unto you, Malachi 3:7. For it seems as if every heart must respond unto such an invitation. For the Yahweh of heaven is pleading. With his erring children to return unto him, that they may again cooperate with him in the carrying forward his work in the earth. For the Yahweh holds out his hand to take the hand of Israel and to help them to the narrow path of the self-denial and self-sacrifice to share with him the heirship as sons of the Elohim. Will they be entreated? Will they discern their only hope? How sad the record that in the Malachi's day the Israelites hesitated to yield their proud hearts in the prompt and loving obedience and hearty cooperation. Self-vindication is apparent in their response. Wherein shall we return? For the Yahweh reveals unto his people one of their special sins. Will a man rob Yahweh? He asks. Yet you have robbed me. Are still unconvicted of the sin, the disobedient inquire. Wherein have we robbed thee? Definite indeed is the Yahweh's answer in the tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith Yahshua of the host, Yahweh of the host, if I will not open ye the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Yahweh of the host. And all nations shall call you blessed, For you shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahweh of hosts. Verse 7-12. Elohim blesses the work of men's hands that they may return unto him his portion. He gives them the sunshine and the rain. He causes vegetation to flourish. He gives health and ability to acquire means. Every blessing comes from his bountiful hand, and he desires men and women to show their gratitude by returning him a portion in the tithes and offerings. And the thank offerings, free will offerings, and trespass offerings, they are devote their means unto his service, that his vineyard may not remain a barren way. They are to study what the Yahweh would do were he in their place. They are to take all difficult matters unto him in prayer. They are to reveal an unselfish interest in the building up of his work in all parts of the world. Through the messages such as those borne by the Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets, as well as through oppression from the heathen foes, the Israelites finally learned the lesson that true prosperity depends upon obedience unto the law of Yahweh. But with many of the people, obedience was not the outflow of faith and love. Their motives were selfish. Outward service was rendered as a means of the attaining unto the national greatness, for the chosen people did not become the light of the world, but shut themselves away from the world as a safeguard against being seduced into idolatry. For the restrictions which the Yahweh had given forbidding intermarriage between his people and the heathen and prohibiting Israel from joining the idolatrous practices of the surrounding nations were so perverted as to build up a wall of the partition between the Israelites and all other peoples, thus shutting from others the very blessings which Elohim had commissioned Israel to give unto the world. At the same time, the Jews were by their sins separating themselves from Yahweh. They were unable to discern the deep spiritual significance of their symbolic service. In their self-righteousness, they trusted unto their own works, unto the sacrifices and ordinances themselves, instead of relying upon the merits of him unto whom all these things pointed. This going about to establish their own righteousness, Romans 10:3. They built themselves up in a self-sufficient formalism. Wanting the Spirit and the grace of the Elohim, they tried to make up for the lack by a rigorous observance of the religious ceremonies and rites. Not content with the ordinances which Elohim himself had appointed, they encumbered the divine commands with the countless exactions of their own devising. For the greater their distance from the Yahweh, the more rigorous they were in the observance of these forms. With all these minute and burdensome exactions, it was a practical impossibility for the people to keep the law. The great principles of the righteous set forth in the Decalogue, and the glorious truth is shadowed in the symbolic service, were alike observed. Buried under a mass of human tradition and enactments, those who were really desirous of the servant Elohim and who tried to observe the whole law as enjoined by the priests and rulers groaned under a heavy burden. As a nation, the people of Israel were desiring the advent of the Messiah. While desiring the advent of the Messiah, were so far separated from Yahweh in the heart and life that they could have no true conception of the character or mission of the promised Redeemer. Instead of desiring redemption from sin and the glory and peace of holiness, their hearts were fixed upon deliverance from their national foes and restoring unto their worldly power. They looked for the Messiah to come as a conqueror, to break every yoke and exalt Israel unto dominion over all nations. Thus Satan has succeeded in the preparing of the hearts of the people for the rejection of the Savior when he should appear, for their own pride of heart and their false conceptions of his character and mission would prevent them from honestly weighing the evidences of his Messiahship. For more than 1,000 years, the Jewish people had waited the coming of the promised Savior, for their brightest hope had rested upon this event. For 1,000 years, in the song and prophecy, in the temple rite, in household prayer, his name had been enshrined, and yet, when he came, they did not recognize him as Messiah for whom they had so long waited. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 1:11. Unto their world-loving hearts, the beloved of heaven was as a root out of a dry ground. In their eyes, he had no form of comeliness. They discerned in him no beauty that they should desire him. Isaiah 53:2. For the whole life of Yahshua of Nazareth among the Jewish people was a reproof unto their selfishness, as revealed in their unwillingness to recognize the just claims of the owner of the vineyard over which they had been placed as husbandmen. For they hate his example of the truthfulness and piety, and when the final test attained, the test which meant disobedience unto eternal life, obedience unto eternal life, or disobedience unto eternal death, they rejected the whole Holy One of the Israel and became responsible for his crucifixion on the Calvary's cross. In the parable of the vineyard, Yahshua, near the close of his earthly ministry, called the attention of the Jewish teachers unto the rich blessings bestowed upon Israel, and these showed Elohim's claim unto their obedience. Plainly, he set before them the glory of Elohim's purpose, which true obedience they might have fulfilled. Withdrawing the veil from the future, he showed how, by the failure to fulfill his purpose, the whole nation was forfeiting his blessing and bringing ruin upon itself. There was a certain householder, Yahshua said, which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and led it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. Matthew 21:33. Thus the Savior referred unto the vineyard of the Yahweh of the hosts, which the prophet Isaiah centuries before had declared to be the house of the Israel, Isaiah 5:7. And when the time of the fruit drew near, Yahshua, continued the owner of the vineyard, sent his servants unto the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took the servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto him likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, "They will reverence my son." But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Having portrayed before the priests their crying after the wickedness, Yahshua now put unto them the question, "When the Yahshua therefore the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?" For the priests had been following the narrative with a deep interest and without considering the relation of the subject unto themselves, they joined with the people in the answering, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season." Unwittingly, they had pronounced their own doom, for the Yahshua looked upon them, and under his searching gaze, they knew that he read the secrets of their hearts. For his divinity flashed out before them with the unmistakable power. They saw in the husbandmen a picture of themselves, and they involuntarily exclaimed, "Yahweh forbid." Solemnly and regretfully, Yahshua asked, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner'? This is the Yahweh's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, for the kingdom of heaven shall be taken from you and given unto a nation bringing forth the fruits in their season. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Matthew 21:34-44. For the Yahshua would have averted the doom of the Jewish nation if the people had received him, but envy and jealousy made them implacable, for they determined that they would not receive Yahshua the Nazareth as the Messiah, for they rejected the light of the world, and henceforth their lives were surrounded with the darkness as the darkness of the midnight. For the doom foretold came upon the Jewish nation. Their own fierce passion, uncontrolled, wrought their ruin. In their blind rage, they destroyed one another. Their rebellious, stubborn pride brought upon them the wrath of their Roman conquerors. For the Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple laid in ruins, and in its side plowed like a field. For the children of Judah perished by the most horrible forms of the death. Millions were sold to serve as bondmen in the heathen land. That which Elohim purposed to do for the world through Israel, the chosen nation, he will finally accomplish through his church on earth today. He has let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, even unto his covenant-keeping people, who faithfully render him the fruits in their season. Never has Yahweh been without the true representatives on this earth who have made his interests their own. For these witnesses of Yahweh are numbered among the spiritual Israel, and unto them will be fulfilled all the covenant promises made by Yahweh unto his ancient people. Today, the congregation of Yahweh is free to carry forward to completion the divine plan for the salvation of a lost race. For many centuries, Yahweh's people suffered a restriction of their liberties, for the preaching of the gospel in its purity was prohibited, and the severest of penalties were visited upon those who dared disobey the mandates of men. As a consequence, Yahweh's great moral vineyard was almost wholly unoccupied, for the people were deprived of the light of the Elohim's word. The darkness of error and superstition threatened to blot out a knowledge of the true religion. Yahweh's church on earth was as verily in captivity during this long period of the relentless persecution as were the children of Israel held captive in the Babylon during the period of the exile. But thank Elohim, his church is no longer in bondage. To the spiritual Israel have been restored the privileges accorded the people of Elohim at the time of their deliverance from the Babylon. In every part of the earth, men and women are responding unto the heaven-sent message, which the John, the Revelator, prophesied would be proclaimed prior unto the second coming of the Yahshua. Fear Elohim and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Revelation 14:7. No longer have the host of evil power to keep the congregation captive, for Babylon is fallen, that great city, which hath made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And unto spiritual Israel is given the message, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Verse 8, chapter 18, verse 4. As the captive exiles heeded the message, flee out of the midst of Babylon, Jeremiah 51:6, and were restored unto the land of promise, unto those who fear Elohim today are heeding the message to withdraw from the spiritual Babylon. And soon they are to stand as trophies of the divine grace in the earth made new, the heavenly Canaan, in the Malachi's day, the mocking inquiry of the impenitent, where is the Elohim of judgment, met with a solemn response. The Elohim shall suddenly come unto, no, the Yahshua, the Son, shall suddenly come unto his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, that who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth. For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a full of soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahweh, as in the days of old, and as in the former years, Malachi 2:17, Malachi 3:1-4. When the promised Messiah was about to appear, The message of the forerunner of Yahshua was, repent, publicans and sinners, repent, Pharisees and Sadducees, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3:2. Today, in the spirit and power of the Elijah and of John, the Baptist messengers of the Elohim, of the Helen's appointment, are calling the attention of a judgment-bound world unto the solemn events soon to take place in the connection with the closing hours of probation and the appearance of Yahshua Messiah as the King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereign. Soon every man is to be judged for the deeds done in the body. For the hour of Yahweh's judgment has come upon the members of His church on the earth, rests the solemn responsibility of giving warning unto those who are standing, as it were, on the very brink of the eternal ruin, unto every human being in the wide world, who will give heed. It must be made plain the principles at stake, and the great controversy being raised, principles upon which hang the destinies of all mankind. In these final hours of the probation for the sons of men, when the fate of every soul is soon to be decided forever, Yahweh of heaven and earth expects His church to arouse to action as never before. Those who have been made free in the Yahshua through a knowledge of the precious truth are regarded by the Yahshua Messiah as His chosen ones, favored above all other people on the face of the earth, and He is counting on them to show forth the praise of Him who hath called them out of the darkness into the marvelous light. For the blessings which are so liberally bestowed are to be communicated unto others. For the good news of the salvation is to go unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. In the vision of the prophets of old, the Yahshua, the glory, was represented as bestowing special light upon His church. In the days of the darkness and unbelief preceding His second coming, as the Son of Righteousness, He was about to arise upon His church with the healing in His wings. Malachi 4:2. And from every true disciple was to be diffused an influence for the life, courage, helpfulness, and true healing. For the coming of the Messiah will take place in the darkest period of this earth's history. For the days of Noah and of Lot picture the condition of the world just before the coming of the Son of Man. For the scriptures pointing forward unto this time declare that Satan will work with all power and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. For his working is plainly revealed by the rapidly increasing darkness, the multitudinous, tedious errors, heresies, and delusions of these last days. Not only is Satan leading the world captive, but his deceptions are leavening the professed churches of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, for the great apostasy will develop into the darkness deep as the midnight. And to Elohim's people it will be a night of trial, a night of weeping, a night of persecution for the truth's sake. But out of that night darkness, Elohim's light will shine. For He causes the light to shine out of darkness, 2 Corinthians 4:2. When the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the waters of the face of the waters, and Yahweh said, let there be light, and there was light, Genesis 1:2-3. So in the night of the spiritual darkness, Elohim's word goes forth, let there be light. And to His people He said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahweh is risen upon thee, Isaiah 60:1. Behold, says the scriptures, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahshua shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 2. For the Yahshua, the outshine of the Father's glory, came unto the world as its light. He came to represent Elohim unto men, and of Him it is written that He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with the power, and went about doing good. Acts 10:38. In the synagogue of Nazareth he said, "The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, and because he hath anointed me to preach of the gospel unto the poor, he hath sent me to heal of the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives, and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty of them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Yahweh," or the Yahshua, the Son, Luke 4:18-19. This was the work he commissioned his disciples to do. "You are the light of the world," he said. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:14-16. This is the work of which the prophet Isaiah describes when he says, "Is it not to deal thy bread unto the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall the light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Yahshua shall be thy reward." Isaiah 58:7-8. Thus, in the night of the spiritual darkness, Elohim's glory is to shine forth through his church and the lifting up of the bowed down and comforting those that mourn. All around us are heard the wails of a world sorrow. And on every hand are the needy and distressed. It is ours to aid in the relieving and softening of life's hardships and misery. The wants of the soul only the love of Yahshua can satisfy. If the Yahshua is abiding in us, our hearts will be full of the divine sympathy. The sealed fountains of the earnest, the Messiah-like love will be unsealed. There are many from whom hope has departed. Bring back the sunshine unto them. Many have lost their courage. Speak unto them words of the cheer. Pray for them. These are those who need the bread of life. Read unto them from the word of Yahweh. Upon many is a soul sickness which no earthly balm can reach, nor physician heal. Pray for these souls. Bring them to Yahshua. Teach them that there is a balm in Gilead and a physician there. Light is a blessing, a universal blessing, pouring forth its treasures on a world unthankful, unhealthy, unholy, demoralized. So it is with the light of the Son of Righteousness, the whole earth, wrapped as it is in the darkness of sin and sorrow and pain, is to be lighted with the knowledge of the Elohim's love. From no sect, rank, or class of people is the light shining from heaven's throne to be excluded. For the message of hope and mercy is to be carried to the ends of the earth. Whosoever will may reach forth and take hold of Elohim's strength and make peace with him, and he shall make peace. No longer are the heathen to be wrapped in the midnight darkness, for the gloom is to disappear before the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness. Yahshua has made every provision that his congregation shall be a transformed body, illumined with the light of the world, possessing the glory of the Emmanuel. It is his purpose that every Christian shall be surrounded with a spiritual atmosphere of light and peace. He desires that we shall reveal his own joy in our lives. Arise, shine, for thy light is coming, the glory of the Yahweh is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60:1. For the Yahshua is coming with the power and great glory. He is coming with his own glory and with the glory of the Father, and the holy angels will attend him on his way. While all the world is plunged into darkness, there will be light in every dwelling of the saints. They will catch the first light of his second appearing. The unsullied light will shine from his splendor. And Yahshua the Redeemer will be admired by all who have served him. While the wicked flee, Yahshua's followers will rejoice in his presence. Then it is that the redeemed from among men will receive their promised inheritance. Thus Elohim's purpose for the Israel will meet with a literal fulfillment. By which Elohim purposes man proposes, man is powerless to disannul. Even amid the working of the evil, Elohim's purposes have been moving steadily forward unto their accomplishment. It was thus with the house of Israel throughout the history of the divided monarchy. It is thus with the spiritual Israel today. For the seer of the Patmos, looking down through the ages unto the time of his arrest, of this restoration of Israel and the earth made new, testified, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with their white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation unto Elohim which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, living creatures, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped Elohim, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and worship it, and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our Elohim forever and ever. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Yahshua Messiah and his Father, omnipotent, reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. He is the sovereign of sovereigns and king of kings, and that they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. That's Revelation 7, 9, and 12, Revelation 19, 6, and 7, and Revelation 17, 14. That's the end of chapter 59. Go into chapter now, 60, Visions of the Future Glory. In the darkest days of her long conflict with the evil, the congregation of the Elohim has been given a revelation of the eternal purpose of the Yahweh. His purpose has been permitted to look beyond the trials of the present unto the triumph of the future. When the warfare having been accomplished, the redeemed will enter into the possession of the promised land. These visions of the future glory scenes pictured by the hand of Elohim should be dear unto his congregation today, when the controversy of the ages is rapidly closing and the promised blessings are soon to be realized in all their fullness. Now, once again, the title of this chapter 60 is Visions of the Future Glory. Many were the messages of the comfort given the congregation by the prophets of old. Comfort you, my people. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Was the Isaiah's commission from the Yahweh. And with the commission were given wonderful visions that have been the believer's hope and joy through all the centuries that have followed. Despised of the man, persecuted, forsaken, Elohim's children in every age have nevertheless been sustained by his sure promises. By the faith, they have looked forward unto the time when he will fulfill to his church the assurance, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations, Isaiah 60, verse 15. Often the church militant is called upon to suffer trials and affliction, for not without severe conflict is the church to triumph. For the bread of the adversity, the water of affliction, Isaiah 30, verse 20, these are the common lot of all. But none who put their trust in the one mighty to deliver will be utterly overwhelmed. Thus saith the Yahweh that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Yahweh, thy Elohim. I am the Yahshua, thy Savior. As the Holy One of Israel, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Isaiah 43:1-4. There is forgiveness with Yahweh. There is acceptance full and free through the merits of the Yahshua, our crucified and risen Savior. Isaiah heard the Yahshua declaring unto his chosen ones, I, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us speak together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thou shalt know that I, the Yahweh, or Yahshua, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Verse 25, 26, 60, and 16. For the rebuke of his people shall he take away. For the prophet declares, he shall call them the holy people, the Redeemer, the Yahshua. He hath appointed to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Yahshua, that he might be glorified. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. And thou afflicted, tossed with the tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of the pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be told to Yahweh, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Yahweh. Isaiah 25:8, 62:12, 61:3, 52:1-2, Isaiah 54:11-17. Clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness, the congregation is to enter upon her final conflict, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. Song of Solomon 6:10. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. For the darkest hour of the church's struggle with the powers of evil is that which immediately precedes the day of her final deliverance. But none who trust in Elohim need fear, for when the blast of the terrible one is as a storm against the wall, Yahweh will be unto his congregation a refuge from the storm. Isaiah 25:4. In that day only the righteous are promised deliverance. The sinners in Zion are afraid. The fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth again oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, and that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and sheddeth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of the defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Isaiah 33:14-16. For the word of Yahweh unto his faithful ones is, Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Yahshua cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Isaiah 26:20-21. In the vision of the great judgment day, the inspired messengers of the Yahweh, were given glimpses of the consternation of those unprepared to meet their Yahshua in the peace. Behold, Yahshua maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are destined. For the mirth of the Tavis ceases, the noise of them that rejoices endeth. For the joy of the harp ceases, Isaiah 24:1-8. Alas, for the day of the Yahshua is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty, that's the Father, shall it come. For the seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of the sheep are made desolate, the vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Joel 1:15-18-12. I am pained, my very heart, Jeremiah explains, as he beholds the desolations wrought during the closing scenes of this earth's history. How can I hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war, destruction upon destruction, is cried, for the whole land is spoiled, Jeremiah 4:19-20. For the lostness of man shall be bowed down, declares Isaiah of the day of the Yahweh's vengeance, or the Yahshua's vengeance, that's the Son, and the hardiness of man shall be made low, and the Yahshua alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. In that day a man's shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which he made each one for himself, unto the to worship unto the moles and to the bats, to go into the cliffs of the rocks and into the stops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Yahshua and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terrible the earth, Isaiah 2:17-21. You know who the glory of his majesty is? That's the 144,000. In those times of the transition, when the pride of the man shall be laid low, Jeremiah testifies, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they tremble, and all the hills move lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jeremiah 4:23-26, and Jeremiah 30:7. For the day of wrath unto the enemies of the Elohim is the day of the final deliverance unto his congregation. For the prophet declares, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Elohim will come with a vengeance, even Elohim with a recompense. He will come and save you. That seems to bring us to the end of our study. This is how you can contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Breath in the Soul by Elijah David. Song that I've written February 26, 2006. I used to like the things that tempted me, just from like the world started to be a little okay in my shambleless part of me. But just like sinning, that's what it is. Started out with a little kiss and ended up with bills long overdue. After I thought I'd had enough of sampling all that wonderful stuff, I went to the yard and threw in the towel. He asked me what changed my mind. If it looked too much of that red wine, and besides that, too late, it seemed wet to drown. For the word of the hour is breath and the soul, something that I'll never let go, something that means more than tongues and tell. Rising up early, going to bed late, in the quiet hours, and then it fades, and then I fall asleep for all this. used to like the things that appealed to me. This is my feelings I couldn't see. Couldn't think y'all has lived to save my soul. Then one day opened his book, something that I longed for so, something that had never grow old. The end that I stood as I began to read, I soon discovered I had a great need to be baptized in the likeness of his death. I longed for the day to be like him, to be free from sin and hold again. And I closed my eyes and sleep there. Born of the Spirit and washed in the blood, a friendship with y'all like nothing else does, fills you with his love now and eternally. So take hold, brother, and don't you let go. I wrap his love all around your soul, put it on display for all the world to see. For the bread of now is breath in the soul, that I never let go, something that needs more than tongue can tell. Rising up, there it goes.